Stand by for the Terry Saul Show in 5, roll tape, 4, cue Terry, 3, bring audio up, 2, stand by, 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station. We are KSLM AM and FM. I am your host and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today, our special guest is a friend of mine and I've been trying to get him down here and he's actually agreed to come on down today as we broadcast live from the Willamette Queen Sternwheel. We have Patrick Lamb. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me down here.
Well, it's been a while. We've been trying to get you down here a little bit, but you are one busy man.
It's a lot of different things are going on. I mean, we've got tours with Gino Vannelli. We're going to Toronto and Montreal next week, and then the Hawaii Blue Note for 3 days, and then just nonstop through next year.
How did you get started? Where are you from?
I'm from Jackson, Mississippi.
What are you doing out here in Oregon?
It took about 14 years. We moved once a year. My dad's a school teacher, and we moved through Mississippi and Texas and Florida. By the time I was 13, we moved 12 times. So
really?
We lived in Jackson, Mississippi, Cleveland, Mississippi, Bowl, Mississippi, Raymond, yeah. Mississippi, Mendenhall, Mississippi, St. Simon's Island, Georgia, a bunch of other places before my dad got a job at Oregon Episcopal School.
Oh, nice.
Up in Portland.
Nice. Yeah. So what age were you when you moved up to here to Oregon?
13.
Okay. You've been here ever since?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. When did you get started in music? I mean, you play a mean saxophone there, but how did you get started with it?
You know, when we moved up to Portland, I enrolled in Cedar Park Middle School. Robert Ernst was the teacher there, and so I picked up the saxophone at the beginning band. And that's really my introduction to the saxophone.
Why did you go for saxophone and not, I don't know, drums or something?
Everybody else was playing drums and trumpet. Yeah. They want to play the loud instruments, and I wanted to play trumpet or drums, and there's just too many.
Drummers have to be cool, though, don't they?
If you're a drummer,
you got to be cool. And you have to be dumb because you don't pay attention. Have you noticed that? If you ever noticed that, like your drummer. Okay, I'm not saying your drummer's dumb, but what I'm saying
he's going to quit the band right after this interview.
Oh, no. if you look at drummers, I love watching because when they're playing, they're looking everywhere, but where they should be looking. And it's like, if you ever watch Ringo Starr, he was never paying attention, but yet he was right on.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I think. But in a saxophone, you got to be paying attention.
Well, you know, with any instrument, there's a lot of different things going on. Drummers have got a tough job. They have to haul the most stuff. So, yeah, I picked up the saxophone. It just went through all the different books and then started going to the jam sessions in Portland. And then my first tour was with Diane Schur in 1990, right around 1990.
Okay. Are you self-taught on the saxophone?
No, I went to Mount Hood Community College. And then I studied under Andy Hardwick in Jackson, Mississippi for a couple of years. And then I've been touring ever since with Diane Schur, Bobby Caldwell, and Gino Vannelli.
Yeah, now, how long have you been with Gino Vannelli?
I've been managing his horn section for 12 years now.
Really?
So
he's taking
worldwide.
You all around the world, hasn't he?
Yeah, we've been all over, continue to travel, probably 30, 40 dates a year, something like that.
So how many saxophones do you have right now?
Three. I have a soprano, alto, and tenor.
Okay.
Tenor, and I end up playing the tenor the most, but I play a lot of alto with Gino. Haven't played much soprano for a while, but on occasion, Gino will call tunes that require the soprano.
Right. You don't play the same songs with Gino that you do on your concerts, do you?
No, I have all original material for my concerts, and then I also manage a production company. So, you know, I book different bands and concerts like Jazz at the Oxford.
What do you do in your spare time? do you have any?
Not really. I mean, yeah. I run. I used to play soccer, but now I've taken up running. You know, I ran Hood to Coast a couple of years ago. Stay in good shape.
Yeah. How'd you do on that one?
Did you make it a lot? You know, the last stretch of Hood to Coast, the year I ran it, had a huge thunderstorm. It was the year that they canceled the end party. So I remember one of the last legs that I had at Hood to Coast was, it was dark, it was uphill, it was like 7 miles, and it was thunder and lightning, and the van pulls up, and they're like, okay, get out, you know, start running. And you get out and you're looking at, you can't see anything, you just got a headlamp on.
Yeah.
You know, and
how long does it take to do that? How long did it take you?
Well, you know, you do it with a team of people. So you run anywhere from 3 to 7 mile segments, you know, as you go through the...
You can run 7 miles?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even drive that far.
Many times over. My first leg was the start leg, running down from the top of Mount Hood.
Yeah.
And I think that was like 6 miles, something like that. And then you just keep trading off. until you get to the coast.
Wow. How many hours will it take to get to go from Mount Hood to the coast?
Well, it takes like a couple of days.
Oh, you don't do it in one day?
No.
Because, see, I was going to be really impressed if you just said, yeah, we do it in one day. No. I would think, man, this guy's great.
No, and then you stay, you take a breather where everybody sleeps for a few hours, then you keep running. So it's
incredible. How many times have you done that?
Just once.
Yeah.
Just once.
But you're still pretty active, though. I mean, you run around Portland all the time, don't you?
Yeah, every spare minute I have, I run. I have a beautiful run downtown that runs around the Esplanade, and I run. It's kind of like a 5K circuit. Mm-hmm. And so I run. My schedule's so crazy, I can't do it on a predictable time, but I do it whenever I have, you know, an hour or two. Mm-hmm. To spare, I'll go down there and then just park, and especially when it's beautiful and there's all kinds of bridges and beautiful scenery and weird people, keep your interest level up. So especially now, so it's it's a good run.
You do a lot of shows. We've had the privilege of seeing your shows many times, and you perform all over the place. It seems like you're going every week. You've got a different show somewhere. How many shows do you do locally?
You know, I haven't actually counted it this year. I mean, I play at least a couple hundred shows amidst and that goes between several different things. So I have my touring schedule with Gino, or it has been in the past. It's been with Bobby Caldwell or Gino, you know, or Jeff Lorber or Smokey Robinson, whoever I'm touring with. I balance that with the regional production schedule that I have. I manage Jazz at the Oxford the last few years, and every show I've booked for them is sold out. So I just finished up booking the 10th annual Jazz at the Oxford, which is 5 weekends in Bend, Oregon at a 5-star hotel. And then I have several.
Now, will you be appearing on any of these shows?
You know, it's interesting you ask, because I've tried to keep my promotional role separate from my playing role with the Oxford. So I haven't booked myself, because I just felt like it was a conflict of interest. But they asked me to book myself this year. So I, you know, I'll be actually be on the roster for performances this year at the at the Oxford. So.
Well, you're in pretty much high demand, though. I mean, it's people that are booking you way down the road, because your schedule is full.
Yeah, the schedule is, I mean, we're doing, geez, I mean, this day we're doing 11 dates at Oregon State Fair. We're doing Jefferson Fairground. We're headlining Cherry Fest. We're headlining Soulful Giving. We're headlining July 4th at Independence Theater.
Well, that's a first, isn't it? You haven't done that before.
No, you know, I was trying to think that how that happened, but a fabulous promoter there is. I can't remember the. Anyway, they're really great. We ended up talking, and I guess they have like 10 or 15,000 people out there, I think.
Yeah, we've been out there before. It's
you've
crazy.
Been tell me about it. Yeah, I don't know what do we expect.
It's just solid people. Solid people.
I mean, he said there could be 20,000. Yeah. So I think we have a nice mix. I mean, I have, like I said, I have several bands I book. One of them is called Hit Factory, and it primarily focuses on corporate parties. I mean, we just did Nike North America's party for BMW China, you know, stuff for Providence, stuff for just really high-end, I don't want to say Vegas-style presentation, but a real nonstop show for those kind of events that like that. If you want more information, that's at hitfactoryentertainment.com. But I've probably booked 60 events for them this year. And so it's the kind of thing I can do when I'm playing original music on the road or promoting my new record. Hit Factory will be here in the Northwest, you know, performing for ALNA Casino or this, that, or the other.
Do you book yourself? I mean, do you book all the shows yourself, or do you have helpers that can come out and help you get out there and do some of the legwork for you?
I have a great team. I definitely can't do it by myself anymore. You know, I have, because we do, like, for example, you know, I have 7 shows that we do all the sound and lights for Happy Valley. You know, I'm out of town for some of those events. So I have a great guy, Kent Werns, fantastic sound guy, some major stuff for Foreigner and huge groups. And he's, so he'll be heading up the team for Happy Valley. I have a
You normally perform at least one show out there, don't you, Happy Valley? You're usually out there at least once a year.
Yeah, you know, I've been working with them so long. This year we're going to switch it up. Again, you know, I try to keep my role booking stuff and production aside from the performing thing, because I don't want to have the perception that, you know, I'm for example, booking myself into concerts where, you know, there's a lot of great bands out there, so we need to spread the opportunities around. And I feel very blessed. I'm working as much as I can stand. I wish I could clone myself. So
you mentioned earlier Hit Factory. What is Hit Factory? That's a separate band of yours, or is that, what is it?
It's a band I put together to do high-end corporate events. It focuses exclusively on top 40 Billboard hits and stuff that's current for kids, from anything from bar mitzvahs to, like I said, Nike North America big parties and that type of thing. And it's something that just does exclusively cover music. I mean, every band, every city has several of these kind of bands, and I started the group because I felt like I could put together something that was both a higher professional presentation, and also I like to work with the best musicians. I think that's one of the things that differentiates what I bring to the table from some of the, you know, weekend warrior cover bands that go out and just play. They think it's fun, and it's great. Nothing, you know, all power to them. But for example, I have the keyboardist who works with me both in my band and Hit Factory is Nick Roth, and he just got off the road with the late great Aretha Franklin. So, you know, we've got just an exceptional, I mean, the best, you know, musicians. We got Rusty Cox, he's a funk meister on the drums. Carl Fall's been a longtime friend of mine, plays bass, and you know, we've just got an absolutely fabulous group of people. So, and they have to be, you know, because we're playing all the time. When you play and see each other 2, 3, 4 times a week, you gotta hope that you're gonna like these people.
Do you have time to do much rehearsals at all, or do you try to do that during your sound checks?
You know, I schedule stuff very specifically and thoughtfully through Google Docs. I have probably 10 or 15 different bookmarks. For example, I have a Google Doc list of everything I have going on with Jazz at the Oxford. I have one for Happy Valley. I'll have one for the band calendar, which has like a couple of hundred things and data on it. I schedule the rehearsals way, way ahead of time, usually at least 3 months. That way there's no scrambling. Like, I know we have Cherry Fest and July 4th, and we have Soulful Giving coming up in August. We have a couple of rehearsals scheduled on Wednesdays the week before.
Okay.
That, you know, that's the only way to do it, because everybody's busy. Everybody that I work with are exceptionally talented, and when you're exceptionally talented, they're in high demand, and they are. And so you know, my philosophy is just over-communication, you know. Just communicating a lot of information way ahead of time. And that way you can accomplish all your goals.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. We are KSLM. Back in just a moment with more with Patrick Lamb. Hi, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo.
And this is Doc Nelson.
Hey, you know, I am on Doc every Saturday at 10 o'clock right here on KSLM. Do you ever listen?
Oh, all the time. I also know you're on Sundays and a repeat broadcast.
That's right. Sundays at 11 o'clock, you can hear me, and you never know who my guests are going to be.
They're always special.
Maybe even Doc Nelson.
I've been there.
And there you go. So join us right here on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM, KSLM, and 1220 AM. We're done, Doc.
Out now?
Right now. This segment of the Terry Saul Show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. All aboard the Willamette Queen at the Salem Riverfront Park in downtown Salem. Enjoy a riverboat experience reminiscent of the days when travel on the Willamette River was only by steam-powered sternwheel boats. Relive Oregon's historic past while enjoying elegant dining and a relaxing, leisurely voyage. The next time you plan an event, think of the Willamette Queen. Whether it's a lunch cruise, a gourmet dinner cruise, a brunch cruise, or just an excursion cruise, they're open year-round. Call for more details, 503-371-1103. That number again for the Willamette Queen is 503-371-1103. Remember, it's the Willamette Queen.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Hey, this is Patrick Lamb. You're listening to the Terry Sowell Show on KSLM 1220 AM 104.3 FM.
Welcome back to the Terry Sowell Weekend Show. We are broadcasting today from the Willamette Queen Stern Wheel, and the Queen is back in the river. The next time you plan an event, plan on the Willamette Queen. 503-371-1103 is the number for the Queen. She's back. 503-371-1103. Today's guest is entertainer Patrick Lamb. Tell me, Patrick, what type of show do you do? When I come to a Patrick Lamb show, who should I bring?
Well, you know, I tour in a lot of different contexts. So, when I'm touring, it's a very different thing. I'm as a support artist for that artist. You know, if it's Gino, then I'm very much doing, you know, obviously Gino's music. When I'm doing my music, I try to do a show that's family oriented and that communicates, you know, something for everyone. You know, it's original. We try to feature, you know, all the exceptional artists that are in the group. You're gonna see a drum solo. You're gonna see a guitar feature. You're gonna see, if we have the Brown Sisters, you're gonna see a feature for them. I try to, you know, have everybody shine in the group, and then you know, you're gonna see something that's gonna get everybody rocking, you know, 'cause that's what we do. I mean, we have a lot of different shows, and I think that's what they hire us for, is to, 'cause we're in the happiness business. We bring, hopefully, you know, give people some distance away from their job and all the different things that they may be, or may not be going through. That's the role of music. So we just try to, you know, bring them into a more joyful place and have a good time.
I've seen many of your shows, and it never fails that two things are guaranteed to happen in a Patrick Lamb show. Number one, you're not going to stay on stage long. You get out there, you take that saxophone of yours, and you get on out there, and you love just walking through the crowd, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, really, we're, you know, like I said, sort of facetiously, but we're in the happiness business, and that's, it's true, because if people remember you and you make that personal connection, that's really the beauty of live shows. And people, bands that miss that are really missing, well, they're missing record sales too, because that's really, you know, if people connect with you, they never forget it. You know, right. There's people from many, the last few years, whether it's Kaiser Amphitheater or Six to Sunset or Happy Valley, and they'll come up to me and they'll just be like, hey, I really loved how you played to my 7-year-old, or, you know, they remember that forever. And that's the kind of thing that's meaningful. And of course, having a great song that with a great lyric, or just playing saxophone for people. You know, I love it.
Do you write your own music?
I have a ton of my own music, yeah. And if you want to hear some of it, you can create your own Patrick Lamb channel just by going to iTunes and searching Patrick Lamb and then clicking on songs. And we've got a few, you know, 100 different songs. And some people do that. They do a search on Spotify. You can start a Patrick Lamb channel. I mean, that's really the state of the world today.
Right.
Unless you're at a live concert, not many people are actually buying CDs because they don't have to. I mean, I go to Apple Music. I just click, you know, I do a search, or I do Shazam. If I hear something and I click on it, and I add it to my Apple iStream, you know, I'm good to go. That's how you do it.
We were having a cruise earlier today that you were on with us. You had an elderly lady that came up and says, you know, I saw you, what, you figured you were probably in your teens when she saw you perform?
Yeah, she remembered 19, it must have been 1990 or 91.
Okay.
And I was playing at the Mount Hood Jazz Festival. She came up to me, she said, I remember you know, your band, you were kind of on the side stage, and you guys were so fantastic. And she was like, it's my birthday, it's my 77th birthday.
Nice.
You know, and so I gave her a t-shirt.
There you go. And she put it on right away.
And she put it on right away. It was just, you know, it's that kind of thing. Like, so the connection, music adds a kind of connection, that there's all kinds of connection. I mean, you do it with your radio show, connecting people, but music is a glue that really glues people together worldwide, you know, aside from politics and any of the other divisive things that are going on, I'd like to think.
I said there was two things that you're guaranteed out of Patrick Lamb, and that was, one of them was going off into the crowd. The other one is, you get everybody up. There's some songs that you can do, and you just get everybody up, no matter if it's in the field. It doesn't matter. They're just dancing and having a great time.
You know, we love it. We really, I think it's about setting that intention for that to happen. Because people can feel, and they pick up on so much more than we give them credit for. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just about the notes, obviously. So, you know, we love to get people going and dancing. I mean, it's a party.
It really is a party. I love watching you out at Happy Valley because it's something about that crowd. Boy, they just, they're up on their feet from the time you walk out until the time you leave, and they're still looking for more.
Yeah, and we have, you know, each year at Happy Valley, we have worked with one of the bands there, worked up a song, and then had them come up on the stage. You know, that really inspires kids, and that's something that goes on long into the future. So that's another example of stuff that we love to do that touches people's hearts.
You're not afraid to bring people up on stage with you. I've watched you bring kids up there, and I mean, they're having a ball. And I guess what people don't understand is that's something, I mean, you're spot on with it. You've figured it out, but a lot of guys don't understand that little gesture is going to be with them the rest of their life. Yeah, remember the time I got up on stage with Patrick Lamb? I mean, that's just stuff that they're going to remember. And a lot of people won't do that.
I think it just gets back to your philosophy about whatever you're what you're doing in music. I mean, you know, music has all kinds of people involved in it. I think the highest ground for music is just to raise people up and to bring people together, to encourage, to take people away from their daily grind and just bring people together.
We have less than a minute left to go here on this particular segment, but you love your fans, don't you?
I do. Yeah. You know, I'm practically.
And it shows. I mean, you could tell when you're out and about with the fans. You could tell. You enjoy your fans.
You know, it's a privilege to kind of have that space in their life because I think everybody wants to connect with something, you know, through music. And when it's really been my dream to be able to perform and tour worldwide, and I get to do that now. So really the highest ground for and role for somebody like me is to use that, you know, platform to raise all ships, as it were, to connect with kids, to inspire the young people, to, you know, make the parents feel like it was a good place for them to bring their kids and just make some great music.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest, Patrick Lamb. You're listening to the Terry Saller Weekend Show. We are at 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. We are KSLM. Back in a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM.
To the Terry Soul Show on KSLM 1220 AM 104.3 FM.
We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. Today we're talking with Patrick Lamb as we broadcast live from the Willamette Queen Sternwheel. Again, the Queen is back in the river. No matter what your event is, plan on taking the Queen with you. 503-371-1103 is the number for the Willamette Queen. Patrick, we were talking a little bit about some of your fans, and you have fans literally all around the world, don't you? Are you getting emails and letters from everybody everywhere?
I do. I constantly get Facebook messages, and I mean, mostly social media messages. The email is I think it's a little harder to get your email or something. I'm not sure, but I get stuff from Australia, from Japan, from Europe, you know, all over the place. I mean, we're going to Toronto and Montreal. I'm doing some shows over there with Gino Vannelli, but I also do some interviews because they're playing my new record a lot in that area. So it's growing. It's been a slow upturn for me. It's been not a quick jump. Everything has been slow and steady wins the race, but things have been constantly expanding, and so there's a lot more fans, you know, worldwide now.
Where is your favorite place to perform. If you had one spot, Patrick, I'll take you anywhere you want. You can do a show anywhere you want. Where would that be? I mean, you performed all over the world multiple times. Where would it be?
You know, there's so many different fantastic places. I mean, I'd have to think over and many different kinds of experiences. I mean, there's the experience of playing, you know, the best Blue Notes in the world, you know, like in Japan, or there's a time when I was playing 23 shows with Bobby Caldwell in one stretch in Japan. He's like, from the Blue Notes in Japan to the White House, which is a very different experience. To
how did that come about?
Well, I was playing AM Northwest, and I ran into my friend, who became a friend, Christopher Radko, who was doing the ornaments for the Rich and Famous, and at that time, the White House. So we met on the show. He came out to, we invited him out to the CD release party that night. And then he came out to the CD release party. We talked a little bit, and he bought a couple of CDs. And then he said, hey, you know, he got contact information. He said, hey, I'd love to stay in touch. I said, I think that's great. You know, he left. I didn't think much of it until later. He called 2 weeks later, and he said, hey, Patrick, how are you doing? You remember me, Christopher Radko? And I said, yes. He said, you know, this week I'm decorating the White House, and I gave your CDs to the social secretary and the Clintons, and they loved it, and they'd love you to come perform. And so I said, I had to check my schedule. And
you did not. Let me get back with you on that one.
So we, you know, that was the beginning of a close friendship with Christopher Radko. I can't say enough. He's just a very kind, incredibly giving individual.
So how was that? I've been to the White House before. It's an amazing place to go. But, I mean, not to be invited to perform before them. I mean, how was that? Was that intimidating?
No, it was, you know, very, very exciting, full of excitement. It's, stating the obvious, just a very historical and a place that commands respect. And
you've got the president and the first lady sitting there staring at you. I mean, you better hope that your fly is not down, or you better hope that you don't miss a note or something. I mean, that's got to be a certain amount of intimidation, wouldn't it?
You know, I transferred that more into just childlike excitement. I think it was a lot of fun. The White House was completely opened up, so it was more like just a party. There's no ropes or anything like that.
Right.
The Secret Service, you know, goes through all of that kind of thing prior to getting there. And then we stayed at the Hay Adams, which is a historical hotel.
Okay.
You get the opportunity to meet the Clintons, who are very gracious. They had just gotten back from, like, some trip around the world, and then they stood there. It must have been for close to three hours and shook every single... That's what I really remember.
Yeah.
Shook every single hand. And then when I got up to the front of the line, he took time to talk about saxophone.
Because
he played the saxophone. He wanted to talk about, you know, the mouthpiece and the reed. And I was just like, these people are absolutely phenomenal and full of energy obviously passionate about what they do. So
they let you take a picture with them? And
it was fantastic. And then got invited back the next year.
Do they pay for your transportation back there and the hotel accommodations, or is that the government doesn't cover that, does it? You're on your own?
I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I don't remember if they paid for that or not.
But that was a lot of fun. That was a highlight, obviously, a highlight of your life is to be performing at the White House. No matter who the president is, just to be able to be performing for the White House. I mean, that's got to be incredible.
It was fantastic. And then the next year we went back, got invited to perform for the lighting of the Christmas tree.
Okay.
And then I reached out to Thomas Lauderdale from Pink Martini. And then we went and performed at the White House. So just a really fantastic experience.
Yeah. So back to my question, that if you could perform anywhere other than the White House,
where would it be? Sorry about
where do you
that.
Think you'd want to perform?
Yeah, I think I've played so many amazing places already. I just it's a hard question to answer because the best places are fantastic in their own way. You know, it doesn't have to be just because it's not huge, or like, for example, the White House was amazing. The Blue Notes have been incredible. Playing at the Kennedy Center with Diane Scherer was amazing. You know, so there's just been so many. I mean, huge festivals in Europe with Gino Vannelli. It's really hard. I'm not sure I can answer that.
Do you work extra hard when you have a crowd that's just not quite there yet?
Well, you know, when that happens, I just in the back of my mind, I remind myself, you know, what my intention is, and then I'm going to give it everything I got. So I don't operate on. I mean, it's great to get audience feedback, and it feels good, but I don't come to a show dependent on that. I come sort of self-encouraged. You know. So
are you having fun on stage? Are you enjoying yourself when you're
out
there?
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. I mean, I love all the different kind of things I get to do.
I've watched you perform before, and I've watched a promoter walk up to the stage and say, okay, one more song. And four or five songs later, you're finally excited to get up. You just keep going. Yeah. When you're having fun, you're going to keep going.
Yeah, why not? You know, I mean, most people would give their left leg to be able to do you know, what we do. And I don't really lose sight of that. You know, you got to have a lot of gratitude. A lot of people working hard out there doing all kinds of stuff. You know, and I grew up, worked every job you can possibly imagine, you know, before music worked out. So I think it gives me a heightened appreciation of what it is that I'm privileged to be able to do. I mean, when I first came to Oregon, I picked strawberries, I delivered pizza, I dug ditches, I cleaned roofs, I swept factory floors, I parked cars at every city center parking in the city. You know, I think everybody should know how to just do good, hard work, because, you know, when they get a job that's more of a blessing, I think they can appreciate it more.
You've got some CDs out. You got a brand new CD out. It's called Soul Ties. Tell me about some of your CDs. Which one, you got, about five or six different CDs that are out right now? One of them, let's talk about this one that's a tribute to Ray Charles. What's that all about?
Oh, wow. That takes me back a ways. I think that's back to 2000 and... Oh my gosh, is that 2007? So, it's a show that we put together for the Waterfront Blues Festival. The concept was to bring together some of the best of the Portland community, musically speaking. It had a lot of the top people of that time. It had Sweet Baby James, Linda Hornbuckle, Duffy Bishop, Norman Sylvester, Lee Garrett, Olivia Warfield, Liv Warfield, Paul DeLay. And actually, I think this was the last recording he did before he died. Yeah, the concept was really just a raise all ships kind of project where we picked some of the best arrangements from Ray Charles live in Brazil, and we were sitting there watching a TV program that had one of those pop presentations of a tribute to Ray Charles that was just completely wrong. You know, it was really forced and didn't feel right. We thought, hey, you know, what if we did something like that here locally with the best talent, and we picked the right songs for the right artists? Mm-hmm. So we put that together. It just became much more successful than we ever anticipated. So it became like the front page of the Oregonian. People were talking about it. And we, right after that, after the article, we started booking the show for just a lot of the top events around the city, you know, the Portland Art Museum, and then Schwab Amphitheater, and I got a call from Paul Allen. And we put together a show for him. At a certain point, we wondered what the next step was for the show.
So was this one of your first CDs that you put out there, this Ray Charles tribute one?
It was one of the first ones.
Okay.
It was also an attempt to get back into more of the funky soul stuff that I really enjoy. So, but anyway, to make a long story short, that we ended up sitting down with the symphony, with Susan Nielsen over the symphony, and putting together a dream show that incorporated all of these characters at the with the Oregon Symphony. And I reached out to Dave Metzger. Actually, he's here down in Salem, Oregon. You know, he's worked on major movies and The Lion King, and so he did an arrangement of Georgia for the show. And then we had Charles Floyd, works with Natalie Cole, conducting it. It was, in short, it sold out, you know, all three nights, and it was a huge hit. So we decided to record a CD.
It's a great
so it just,
CD.
It just kept going, and it's really a page in the book of Portland. I mean, if you want to more information, you can go to patricklamb.com and click on merch, and it's on the CDs page, and it can have it sent right to your doorstep. But it's really a slice of time that, in my mind, from what I've seen, is one of the best eras that Portland has ever had. I mean, when, you know, a lot of these people have passed on now. Janice Scroggins and, you know, all these great, great artists. Lee Garrett. Well, Linda Hornbuckle's passed on. Lee hasn't passed on. He's still with us. So it's been really a great CD. And if you want to pick it up, you can find it on iTunes or at my website.
All right. I know for a fact that that's one of the CDs that they always sell out on your shows, because it's a favorite. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. We are KSLM. Our sponsor during this segment is, of course, the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler, 503-371-1103. Give them a buzz. Back in just a moment. Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. I am so glad to be back on the air, and especially here at Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Now, the incredible management team here at KSLM has given me the green light to not only air my show on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., but now, in case you missed it, you can tune in to Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for an encore broadcast. Now, if you missed both of them, I invite you to go to my website, www.terrysaul.com, and check out my podcast to listen to any or all of my past shows. Now, if you do that, well, I think you've got too much time on your hands. I have a lot of fun and exciting guests in the upcoming weeks, and we may just take this show with us on the road. So join us weekends for the Terry Saul Show, only on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM. Back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Welcome back to our final few minutes today. Our guest has been Patrick Lamb. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on KSLM. We're broadcasting live today from the Willamette Queen Sternwheel. Now, I was at a Trailblazer game not too long ago, and all of a sudden you come walking out center court.
There you go.
And you did the national anthem. That was awesome.
Oh,
and I'm sitting there, the guy next to me, who I don't even know, I'm going, I know that guy. I know him. You know, that's a friend of mine. And he's going, yeah, okay, dude, settle down. You know, but how'd that come about?
Well, I've had a great relationship with the Blazers for over a decade. And so I'm on their list of people they call every so often to come and play for the playoff games or the anthem for different games. And I try to do something unique, but not too unique. You know, people, it's a very respectful thing, the way you have to handle the anthem. So, I mean, you know, it's great to put your own thing and your own passion into it, but people generally don't want you to change it too much.
Sure.
And I wouldn't do that. So, but it's always just it's a privilege, you know.
Is that a tough song to do?
No, because I've practiced it like 4,000 times, you know. I mean, it's not something you want to not practice and then go out.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, we all know how that goes.
Yeah.
We've seen that movie.
Mm-hmm.
so no, it's a real privilege to perform the anthem. And, you know, from my perspective, whatever you think is, whatever your political, you know, thoughts are about what's going on, all the different conflicts in America, when I play the anthem, I think about what it is that we hope for, you know, in that flag, which unites all of us. You know, I mean, if we turn our back on the flag or the anthem every time we have a problem, you know, we'd never have one. So I think, for me, you know, I envision what that means for all human beings.
Does it ever get to you? When you're center court and you're playing that and the place is packed, you know there's thousands of people, they're all watching you. Does it ever get to you at all?
I get into it, you know. I mean, I watch the History Channel, you know, and if you've watched anything about the incredible sacrifice, you know, of millions of people, you know, trying to protect our country. And again, it doesn't matter what the political,
right.
It's just a fact, you know, all the human beings that have sacrificed. And yeah, it gets to me. I mean, I don't let it get to me too much while I'm, because I want to do a good job. But it's a very meaningful, and it can be obviously an emotional song.
Do you ever do the song and then walk off stage and go, wow, I just did the national anthem in front of, could be on national television. Oh, I mean, in front of the whole audience is like.
Now, generally, what I think, you know, when I'm done, I just, my own worst critic. So I'm thinking, well, I could have, you know, I could have played a little better this note, or, you know, I could, you know, that's just the nature, I think, of
my mind works. Worst critic. when I'm doing my bits on stage there, she will sit there with a notepad and she will listen for the laugh and go, okay, that joke didn't work. That joke worked. That one got a so-so laugh.
Are you getting more good marks than bad?
Not lately. and then I'll walk off and I'll look at her and I'll go, man, that was a good crowd tonight. And she goes, reel it in. It wasn't that hot.
Oh.
And it's like, ooh, ooh.
Oh,
you know, does Joan ever do that to you, where you walk off and go, man, I was really on fire tonight? And they look at you and go, no, you weren't.
She's a real straight shooter, so she has, you know, I think the trick is to say what you mean, but don't say it mean.
Yeah.
I think that's the key.
But I've had the other ones where I've walked off and I go, man, I just couldn't hear them laughing. Like she goes, oh, they were laughing at it. Okay.
Like at you or with you?
Doesn't matter. As long as you can get the laugh, I don't care. You know, we just go for the cheap laugh. Let's talk about some more of your CDs. Tell me about this newest one you have.
Well,
Soul Ties?
The newest one is a collaboration with Jeff Lorber, and the intent of this record was really just to get some of my favorite rhythm section people in the room and record a record. So in this day and age, there's a whole lot of overdubbing and re-recording, and you can be in L.A., somebody can send you stuff from New York, and then, you know, here you go. You kind of piece the CD together. But for this, I got together some of my favorite rhythm section people. We had Alex Howell, who did the last tours with Michael Jackson. Little John Roberts, he's one of the funkiest drummers on the planet. Jeff Lorber and I wrote a bunch of songs. And then Tony Maiden, who was with Rufus, Chaka Khan. And we just got together for a couple of days, recorded a record. Jeff Lorber and I got together a couple of weeks before, wrote a whole bunch of songs, wrote out the charts. Then we had the session and then recorded it. And then Darren Ron mixed it in Colorado. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got some great stuff. It's got mostly original music. We've got a song by Wayne Shorter, Beauty and the Beast. One other cover song, Whatever Happens, that I did an arrangement with. That's a re-recording of, or a different arrangement of Bill Withers' song, you know, written by Bill Withers and Larry Carlton.
Right. You also have another CD out that's called Pick Up the Pieces, and it has, on that particular CD, it's got a song that I just fell in love with. I've heard you do it several times. There was one time you were doing an outdoor show up in Vancouver at Esther Shore Park,
mm-hmm.
and you had the Brown Sisters, and they did that Hallelujah song. I'm telling you, Patrick, that one was just, you guys hit a slam with that one. Incredible. And I've heard you do it by yourself, and it's just as incredible and fascinating as it is when you've got the gals singing it.
Yeah, it's you know, that Leonard Cohen song. It's got a very interesting lyric. You know, I think it's one of those songs can mean different things to different people, but everybody knows it. And it's just a song that we typically break down the show into a nice ballad that just features the saxophone, and people seem to love it.
Speaking of the Brown Sisters, they've been with you for years, haven't they?
They've been longtime friends. I just love them to death. They're just some of the most fabulously talented people anywhere around. And anytime I can have them on our show, you know, we have them. They've been on several CDs. They have their own CDs out. I think they're going to join us for some upcoming performances.
They're three of the nicest gals you'll ever meet. I've watched them after a show, and they'll sit there and they'll sign autographs until the last person goes home.
They truly are. They're some of the most nicest people you've ever met. They really, when they sing together, it's truly as one. You know, it's something that you don't get with, you know, a bunch of sidemen singers that you get together. I mean, they grew up singing together. They sing. When they sing just like a single unit. Mm-hmm. And they've got so much soul and so much talent and so much experience, you know, with gospel music.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons I really love it.
With our final couple of minutes we have here, you're on Facebook, you're on websites. What do you got going?
So you can check out the schedule, which takes us through New Year's, actually until next year, through next year. We've got probably 100 dates at patricklam.com. If you want to buy any of these CDs or if you want to download some of the music, just go to patricklam.com, click on the merch section. My fabulous merch team.
Yeah, I met them.
They're absolutely awesome. Patty and Terry. So that's one way to get it. You can get them on iTunes. And then Facebook is patricklam.com/patricklammusic.
Okay, with our final minute, real quickly, New Year's Eve is always a big night for you. Tell me about it.
Well, this year, this will be the eighth year. It's an event that my company puts on. We have the Dan Reed Network coming in from Europe. It always sells out. You can find out more information at thegovernorsball.org. And this year it's going to benefit my music foundation, the Patrick Lam Foundation for the Arts.
Is that a new foundation?
Yep.
When did you put that together?
We just launched it. The focus is going to be on the science of why the arts help the young person's brain develop and become. They make more money. They make have higher SAT scores. That's really about the data, because we really tried a lot of different things. It's probably a different show. We can talk about
right,
this some more.
You
but
bet.
But it's a new foundation.
Patrick, we're just about out of time, my friend. I've got 1,000 more questions I can ask you. Will you come back and do this again with us sometime?
I would love it. Thank you so
all
much.
Right. Patrick Lamb has been our guest. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM, 1220 AM, KSLM. We are out of time. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.